Hello and welcome back to Shindogal, aka LaCrista's Podcast and Madness. I apologize for taking so long to record this podcast and put it out there. Conflicting schedules with jobs. I tried a new job, podcast app called Hosakai, and it's terrible. I tried to record more than one. First, I tried recording one, and I tried to send it, and then it crashed. Then, you try multiple ones, it would crash. And then I couldn't even hook it up to Michael Hodgman, so I said, forget it. I'm just going to do it on my voice recording app, which I already have. So no point in getting a new one. I thought that, using a new app would be better technology, but just stick with the ones you have. Especially if you don't have a pop mic. And I apologize for last week's recording. The editing didn't come out as well as I wanted it to. The pop mic, I need a new pop mic. Well, I need a pop mic, because the one I have is lousy. And I'm gotta work on that. Oh, also, I have a blog called I share with a friend. Her name is Elsie Clements. She does horror stuff, stuff about surviving an apocalyptic situations and various anime and stuff. So yeah, her website is www.lc Clements, which is C as in Candy, L as in Larry, E as in M as in Monty, E, N as in Nutmeg, T as in Tom, S as in Snake, .wordpress.com. So when you get a chance, just go over there and look at it. She hasn't updated in a bit because she's getting married, but the articles she had were a little interesting, I'll say that. Okay, now that we got the announcements out the way, we're going back to my previous podcast. This is part two of Silent Hill Nostalgia. And first I want to talk about the breakup of Team Silent. Team Silent were the original creators of the first Silent Hill. Well, they were the creators of the Silent Hill series, but they created the first Silent Hill 4 games. And after Silent Hill 4, which I think was either late 2004 or early 2005, they broke up and went to other productions. I know one of them went to Kojima Productions, and they, Kojima Productions are the people that create the Metal Gear series and Metal Gear Solid, which is one of the more famous ones, which is why they're making another Metal Gear Solid game. But anyway, Team Silent broke up, and other production companies took over afterwards. And there were other games created. Some changed the plot and the overall atmosphere of the town. Some were bad. You have to play for yourself to really decide, but I can only go by my interpretation. The first game I'm going to talk about that wasn't created by Team Silent is Silent Hill Origins. This was created, I believe, by either Double Helix Games or Climax Studios, one of the two, because I can't remember off the top of my head. I bought the game pre-ordered on PlayStation Portable, and in retrospect, I probably should have just waited because the DLC, the little extra stuff they give you wasn't even worth it. But anyway, I played Silent Hill Origins on PSP. The graphics were okay. The gameplay was okay. It's like a regular Silent Hill game, but the plot was more of a mystery than a horror genre. Now, don't get me wrong, there are monsters. There's a pyramid head looking monster called the Butcher, and he was slicing people in half. Yeah, that sort of thing. But it became to me more of a mystery than a horror game. The main character is Travis Grady. He comes from a really, really dark past. The start of the story is that he was late for a delivery as a truck driver, and he drives through Silent Hill to make a shortcut, and a little girl walks across the road, so he turns off, he slams on the brakes on his truck, and he gets out to find the little girl, and she disappears. Oh, wait. I think that's what it is, or the other. Every port version is different. Someone had the Japanese version and told me that in her version, they stop because they see a house on fire. Either way, Travis runs and see a house on fire. He goes in, and there's the burnt Alessa Gillespie, which we know from Silent Hill 1 was burnt to death by her mother. and he goes to get her, and she says, with a psychic power, says, "Let me die." She gets up, he saves her anyway, but then he passes out from smoke inhalation and wakes up in the Acamilla Hospital, where he meets Lisa Garland and Dr. Michael Kaufman, and his story starts from there. Travis's character is similar to Henry from Silent Hill 4. He was kind of in the wrong place at the wrong time. Sometimes that stuff happens. Sometimes Silent Hill just pulls you in. And his backstory is somewhat linked to Silent Hill, but he didn't grow up in the place. He didn't wasn't part of the order or anything like that. No. His backstory is that his mother was committed to the sanatorium because she tried to kill him, and he would visit Silent Hill often, and one day he stopped going there after his parents died, both of them. Well, sort of. I'll get to that in a bit. Travis's character is, he's trying to find a mystery. He's got this little girl who is the spiritual manifestation of Alessa, teaching him how to go between the other world and the real world, trying to find mysteries and clues and items, all the while meeting other various characters. And I'll get to the other characters in a second. But Travis's main plot or main sin is that he committed no sin, which Silent Hill usually condemns you for. Really, the town or Alessa herself is trying to make him face his fears in order to activate an item that she needs. So she's helping him out, so he helped her out. Even though Travis gets annoyed with her because she's bringing up old or dead things. Not like dead bodies, but dead memories that he just doesn't want to relive. The other characters is, of course, Alessa. Alessa in this game only talks, gives one line, and it's "Let me burn." Other than that, she comes off as a spiritual manifestation. She leads Travis throughout Silent Hill to face his fears and find certain items that she needs. And all the while, leads him on a path to some type of redemption so he can live his life in a better way. Travis is a quiet character because of his past. He stays away from people. He's scared of being around people. He just does his job as a trucker. Which truckers, from personal experience, truckers supposedly, from what I've heard, live a lonely life. But my uncle's a trucker and he has a wife and kids, so that's not always the case. But it's implied that he uses the trucker's lifestyle to stay away from people. So, Alessa leads him throughout the town. We know for a fact that Alessa's body is burnt. We don't know where her body is. And in the game, various characters try to say that she died. Just like Dr. Kaufman. He doesn't really say he died. However, he doesn't let Travis know that the girl is alive. He just denies the fact that the girl even existed. But you see a bloody gurney on the elevator when after you first meet him, to chase after him, and you realize, oh, the girl's alive. He's just being a jerk about it. Alessa's needs Travis because she can't move herself. She's in a burnt hard state to get this item called the Floros in order to help her separate her body, her spirit. Split her spirit in half to become, you know, the baby Cheryl that you meet in the first game. Dahlia in this game doesn't look like, and I need to talk about this for a brief second, the characters don't look like the character from 1, which is, you know, it to be expected, but it's kind of like, I don't know. It's kind of like I don't know, because Alessa looks like, I guess she looks like a 14-year-old girl. She looks like a little younger than a 14-year-old girl. In Silent Hill 1, she was a 14-year-old girl, tall, she looked a little more mature, and her outfit, I guess, was what they wore in Japan, because they didn't know how outfits were worn in America. In this game, she looks a little younger than 14, she wears a tie, she wears a little traditional school uniform, but she also looks like one of those cryptic little girls. Dahlia doesn't even wear her ceremonial outfit. She's wearing a jeans, a t-shirt, I think it's a t-shirt, a jean jacket, and she looks even more haggard of an appearance than she did in Silent Hill 1. She actually looks completely insane. And Dahlia in this game, she gives cryptic answers, and she disappears all the time. Travis tried to confront her for burning her daughter alive. Well, first he didn't know that was her daughter, and she tells him, oh, that's my kid, and she accepts that she tried to kill her daughter. Travis tried to talk to her, and she just walks away cryptically. She also kind of knows about Travis's mother, who I'll talk about later, and it makes Travis really annoyed with her. Dr. Kaufman, as I said before, is pretty much an antagonist. He's a jerk. Unlike in Silent Hill 1, where he was trying to defeat Dahlia, this time around he's trying to get Travis to leave town and go away, because they cannot perform rituals or do what they normally do, which is he sells drugs and he has Lisa help him. I'll get to her in a bit. And Travis basically is messing up the flow of what happens in town, so he's trying to steer him away and make him leave town any way possible. He even points out that you're getting your nose in business that has nothing to do with you. And there is a scene in the game that pretty much cements the fact that Lisa and Dr. Kaufman were together, and it's when Travis goes to a hotel, he falls to the floor, and when he comes out of a room, Dr. Kaufman and Lisa are changing clothes, readjusting their clothes, and that's when Kaufman tells him, "You're getting your nose in business, that has nothing to do with you, get out of town now," and leaves, and you see this white, I don't know, I don't think it's crack, and I don't think it's heroin, I think it's the white Claudia drug from Silent Hill 1, and that cements basically he's a drug dealer, he works for the cult, which you find out in the end of the game, you know, the final level, when you go with the florals to stop whatever's going on with the cult and give it Alessa what she needs. That also cements that he's part of the cult and he's a bad guy and he deals drugs. That leads into Silent Hill 1. So Kaufman, right off the bat, is a bad guy. He's a jerk. He's even more of a jerk in this game than the last one. In the last game, he just was like all the other characters. He didn't know what the heck was going on, but he's just annoyed with Dahlia. Lisa Garland in this game, she's much different than her first game incarnation, and that's because her first game incarnation is dead. She's just a memory that Alessa unlocked, how she felt kindness and comfort from her. In this one, Lisa's bubbly, she's bright. However, she is a drug addict, like I said before with the hotel scene, that kind of cemented that she's a drug addict. But she's a little more fleshed out. She acts like, you know, there's stuff she wanted to be. Like she said, her mother was a nurse and she's going to be a nurse. However, really, she wants to be an actress. She flirts with Travis. She feels sorrow for Travis's mom. And she even yells at him in the scene with the sanatorium when he asks who's in there. She says, "You know who's in there," and runs off. That shows that she, you know, she was more than the character that Alessa had thought she was. Even with the drug addict, she didn't know if she was part of the cult, which she isn't. She's just a nurse who gives the drugs to tourists, but she's more of a free spirit in this incarnation. And her outfit yet again has changed. She still wears the red sweater, but this time around with this, she wears a skirt, but it's a little smaller pencil skirt. She has a little hat on her head. It's just a little different. Oh, and her hair is tied up. Her hair was long in the last incarnation. This time it's tied up. Richard Grady, the next character, is Travis's father. We don't know what his occupation was. We didn't know what he did. But we just know that he was taking care of Travis after his mom went crazy and tried to kill both of them. He used to bring him to Silent Hill. And they used to go to the sanatorium where his mother, where his wife and Travis's mother was locked up. He would tell him to go to the hotel, while they were staying at the hotel, go to the arcade to play games while he mentally prepared himself to deal with his wife. And on one particular day, his wife was very violent. He went to the hotel, he told his son to go play video games, and he hung himself while he was gone. And Travis came back, and that's what pretty much cemented his isolation from people. And his father was the one who told him that his mother was dead. He lied to his son, telling his mom died in the sanatorium. And then I believe that's my interpretation, he told his mom was dead and then he killed himself. So Travis was left all alone by himself. And he stood and looked at his father for 10 whole hours. And then it's only when the hotel manager came in to look did he find out the son was dead. And this incarnation, Richard Grady, was from Travis's memories. We don't get much of a glimpse into what his life was like with him, but we do know that, you know, his manifestation of his sorrow and his fear of seeing his father's corpse again and his guilt basically created the monster incarnation of Richard Grady. I think it's called Memory of Richard Grady. I'm not sure, but you have to fight him, and that's one of the last bosses you have to fight in the game and kill. But that's all they really talk about Richard. Helen Grady was his mother. In the past, she was a housewife. That's all we knew. One day, she started hearing voices and things in the mirrors told her to go kill her devil child. So she shoves Travis's head in a gas stove and tries to kill herself as well, doing the same thing. It didn't work. Basically, I guess the police or Travis's father found him. They called the police and said, that's what she did. She said the people in the mirrors told her to do it. And she went and stayed. She basically was sent to the Silent Hill Sanatorium, where Travis visited her until his father, like I said before, told her she was dead. And you fight her as a boss battle, because there are recordings of her sessions, what happened to her. She basically says she wasn't alive in this world. This was just a figment of her imagination. This is just a representation of who she is, who she really is inside the mirror world, which travels to the mirror world. He goes in, he says, Mama, are you there? And he said, oh, Mama's not here, and blah, blah, blah. And she tries to kill Travis. I also want to point out that she was violent while she was in the sanatorium. We don't know if she's dead or not, because even though Richard had lied to Travis and told him that she was dead, we don't know for sure. We just know there's a monster version of Travis's memory of her there. And she demanded to see Travis, and Richard would hide Travis because the doctors even told her she's too violent to be around. She's trying to kill her son. It's no point. So that's all I can say about Helen Grady. She was a manifestation of his memory. We don't know if she's dead. We don't know if she's alive. We just know that he had to fight her as a monster to get through his personal demons. They made a significant changes to the first game because of this game. One of them was the fact that we established that Silent Hill might not be alive unless it's malevolent spirit, maybe, just like in the movies, which I wasn't too big of a fan of the movies. I don't think I ever will be a fan of movies. I applaud them for trying to make a movie out of a series, but it just got too confusing, especially with the witch cult and every witch burning cult. But anyway, they meant this town shows up as a fog, and I don't know what to really say about the town, but the changes was that someone did come in and snatch the baby away. Leslie used Travis to get the florals to separate the baby from herself. And he fought a demon called the Baphomet, which what they were using to bring back the god of the town by using Alessa's suffering, by separating the spirit, the two halves of Alessa. They basically failed at their mission, so Travis changed it so it wasn't Lisa that took the baby away. It was, if you look at the end of the game, you see this in Travis's rearview mirror, you see a spirit of Alessa and a baby. So you find out that the baby, Cheryl, is been left on the road by spirit Alessa, not by Lisa, which I first interpreted. So they may have changed the first game, and at the end credits you hear Harry Mason and his wife find a baby, and they go, oh, we could take her home and blah, blah, blah. And he takes her home, and another dialogue starts with Dr. Kaufman and Dahlia, who say Dr. Kaufman's upset because they can't perform the ritual, and Dahlia says he can perform a spell for her to come back, spirit to come back, and he said that could take years, and Dahlia said we can wait, which means now we have a connection from the first to the second game, the origin story to the second game. But this game was okay. I mean, plot-wise, like I said, it was more of a mystery than all survival horror. The Butcher was one of the bosses he had to beat, which was like sort of the Pyramid Head in the game, except Travis committed no sin. The town just wants, I guess, wants to mess with them. I don't think the Butcher was Alessa, was Alessa's doing. That was the town's doing. So the town still influences him, just like Alessa tries to as well. The next game I want to talk about is Silent Hill Homecoming, which was on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation. I played the Xbox version. This game wasn't too bad. I mean, yeah, it did kind of mess up in the survival horror, the way the horror is, but I can't really get going so angry because Team Silent had broken up, they're not making another game, but the game itself was okay. This is the second game to not take place in Silent Hill, and it takes place in a town called Shepherd's Glen. Shepherd's Glen was created from four families that were from Silent Hill. The town wouldn't let them, I'll get into the history a bit, but it has four founding fathers, which is the Shepherd family, the Holloways, the Bartletts, and the Fitches. The main character is Alex Shepherd, who is a family member of one of the four families. He's coming back from war, and I will give a nod, a kudos to a connection from Silent Origins, seeing Travis, who's much older, pick up Alex and leave him at Shepherd's Glen. And when Alex comes home, there's a lot of creepiness that happens. The town's foggy, there's no people, but you see a banner called the Celebration of 50 Years. And he meets Judge Holloway, who is surprised to see him. Judge Holloway plays a bigger role, and I will explain her role in a minute, but I will say this much, she's very cryptic in the beginning of the game. Alex goes home, you know, after finding out that something has happened, and finds his mom Lillian in a catatonic state with a gun in her hand. He takes the gun from her and he asks about Josh, and she just mumbles a few words, and he gets him upset. He goes into the garage to look for some things because he heard noises and he saw a monster. He fights a monster. He goes back to tell his mother, and his mom is no help whatsoever. So he walks around town. He meets his friend L, who's another character who's putting up signs in the town square because there are pictures of people have gone missing since Alex was gone. And you can see a little romance or friendship that they had. he used to call her clumsy. They used to play together, and he runs into her a couple times because she's trying to find a mystery of what's going on because she's a little freaked out about the monsters in town, but she seems to be able to take care of herself. I also want to point out, in this game, there are pictures, photos left behind, and drawings left behind with signed by Alex's brother, Josh, who he's trying to find. He's trying to find Josh about this entire game, and a lot of other stuff just ensues and comes with it. Josh leaves clues about the other kids that have gone missing in the town, because there's four missing children as well as missing people. He leaves messages and stories about what his friends used to be like and what used to happen around town and the favorite things they used to do. And Alex keeps finding Josh, and he keeps disappearing. Sort of like Silent Hill 1. You keep seeing Josh. You try to get to him, so you have to go around stuff. You have to fight monsters, and when you finally get there, there's Josh. And before you can get to him, he runs off and he leaves pictures or clues or tape recordings of what's going on. Another character is Adam Shepherd, which is his father. He's the sheriff of the town. He goes missing, but you see flashbacks of him. And I want to say that his parents treated him like crap. They acted like they hated him. They have more pictures of Josh, his brother, than him. They even had shows of him basically going into the basement. His father told him not to. He'd go up in the attic. His father told him not to. He basically was a rebellious teenager. He didn't like his parents very much. And that's where we're going to go with him. I'll get to him. I'll talk about him more. Talk about him a little more in detail in a bit or later. Another character is Deputy Wheeler. And I will give a little hand clap for finally having a black character in the game that's not dead, not part of the cult, or anything like that. In Silent Hill 4, there is a black character. He's just a ghost. That's what happened to him. But Deputy Wheeler is the sheriff, the deputy who works under Adam Shepherd and is a little weirded out by all the creepy things that are happening in town. He works with Adam a little bit, but then he gets himself injured. he helps him out against the monsters that happen. He trying to find out what's going on. First he thought Adam was a part of what was going on, but he wasn't. He's just trying to, he's doing his job. That's what I was saying. Deputy Wheeler, just doing his job. That's all I can say about him. Though he does have this freaky obsession with UFOs. The mayor of the town was Mayor Sam Bartlett, who is part of, who is a descendant of one of the founding family members. When you find him, he's in a graveyard digging graves, and he's drinking, and he's just mumbling incoherently. He's trying to talk to, Alex is trying to talk to Mayor Sam to find out what happened to Josh, and he won't tell him anything. I'll reveal his fate in a bit, but I'm going to get into the other characters because some of them do have gruesome fates, but I can't get into that until I get to the characters first. Dr. Martin Fitch is the best doctor in town. He's one of the four founding members of the Fitch family, and his specialty, just like all his other ancestors, is being a doctor. He runs around town and he keeps a family practice. He goes to the family practice. You see one of the rooms is filled with dolls. He's very nervous and twitchy. And like I said, I'll get back to him. Judge Margaret Holloway is the first character you meet. He tells Alex to call him Margaret. She's somewhat cryptic, but then she's very welcoming towards him. She's happy for him. She tells him to go home. You know, she doesn't do as much until later on in the game. Curtis Ackers is the town junkyard guy and I guess the mechanic. He is a little off. He keeps saying things to Alex, very negative things, like he shouldn't come back to town. He doesn't like him. But he does repair his father's gun for him, and that's about it. He plays a bigger role later on in the game as well. There are four missing children in the game. Joey Bartlett, Scarlet Fitch. Joey Bartlett's the son of Mayor Bartlett. Scarlet Fitch, who's the daughter of the doctor. Nora Holloway, who's the daughter of the judge. And Josh Shepard, who is Alex's brother and the son of Adam. Judge Holloway is later revealed to be the villain of the game. She brought back the order because of the history of the town. The sacrifices were in vain. The sacrifices and what needs to be done have demanded by the town of Silent Hill has been broken. The four founding fathers, like I said before, were from Silent Hill. The town would not let them go unless they made a sacrifice to them of their own flesh and blood in order to be let go and let the town be run the way they want to run it. However, every 20, 30, or 40, 50 years maybe, they have to sacrifice one of their family member, their children, in order to keep the god of the town appeased. When Alex gets back, the town is not peaceful. There are people missing, and the town is, as you know, not appeased. Well, the god is not appeased, so all this bad stuff happens to him. Joey Bartlett is part of the Bartlett family. Their pact with the god is to put their child back into the earth. Joey was buried alive by Mayor Sam Bartlett. His father felt tremendous guilt from it and kept digging up graves to find his son's body. When Alex confronts him over what happened to Joey Bartlett, his son's corpse comes out of the grave as a monster called a Schofer and destroys his father, crushes him to death, and Alex has to destroy that monster in order to stay alive. The next missing child is Scarlet Fitch, who is the daughter of Dr. Martin Fitch. His pact sacrifice to the town, to Silent Hill's god, is that their sacrifice will die by the way of the knife. So he dismembered his daughter. And he's in the bottom basement of the clinic, and he's cutting himself to redeem himself and giving blood, just bleeding himself out to death to forgive himself for killing his own daughter. And it's kind of creepy and gross seeing an old guy in his boxers just cutting himself up to death. And Alex tries to talk to him, try to ask what happened to Josh, what's going on, and he just said, I don't care. And he gives him Scarlett's doll. Scarlett's doll looks at him and says, Daddy. He drops it, and it turned into a monstrous doll form with breasts and everything to manifest that she's upset that she won't become a grown woman because she's been sacrificed, and she bites her father's head off. Nora Holloway is the daughter of Judge Margaret Holloway. The Holloway family's way of sacrificing is to go by way of the noose, which means they have to suffocate them in any way possible by cutting off the airflow. Judge Holloway strangled Nora to death, and she felt no remorse for doing it. She's a villain, and she found that, you know, in the order, there will be chaos, and she's a true villain. And she was supposed to be suffocated by her own daughter, but Alex saved her and destroyed the monster. And you see, when you're playing a game, and Alex is fighting a monster, tells Judge Holloway to run, she smiles at the fact that her daughter came back and is going to kill Alex. And you find out that she's kind of a villain just by that scene alone. She gave the locket she gave Nora. Alex found in the memory of her, which is how every parent's child comes back as a monster, basically brought this monster back to kill her. And eventually she does die, but it's not by her daughter's hand, it's by Alex's hand, because he got angry with her for trying to kill her and trying to kill her own daughter, because she would not follow the order's ways that he was supposed to be. I'll get to him in a minute, but she basically dies by getting a screwdriver to the eye because Travis got angry and he didn't want to get killed because Judge Holloway was trying to kill him. And she brought back the order in order to bring order back to the town, and she realized, basically, she went insane. I think this is what my interpretation is. She went insane, realized she couldn't do this they can't do this anymore on their own. They need the order back, so that's what she did. She brought them back to Silent Hill. Josh is Alex's brother, like I said before. The Shepherd family's way of killing their child is going by way of water, so they have to drown them. What happened was, Alex forgot this, but he was on a boat with his brother, and they were in a sea. Josh was talking about this ring he got from his father, which is a family crest. Alex took it away from him. Josh tried to pull away from him, pull back and forth. Josh fell. Josh pulled real hard, got let go, snapped his neck, broke his neck on the boat, and then fell in the water and drowned. And his father, Alex called his father to fish Josh out, and his father looked at him and said, "Do you have any idea what you just did?" And he looks at him, and Alex goes crazy. This is when we find out Alex wasn't a soldier. He was crazy and put in a mental institution. And he says, "It isn't my fault. It isn't my fault. I didn't do anything wrong." And that's when he realized he accidentally killed his brother. The dog tags he wears in the game aren't from being a soldier. It's from his father. He took with him when he went to the mental institution. So basically, he mentally blocked what happened. So he accidentally killed the wrong child was killed for the sacrifice, and that's when all heck basically broke loose. And Alex had to fight a version of Joey, which was a monster, which was basically a spider monster that had a tube going back into its womb. It's very gross, but he had to fish his brother out of the monster and apologize to him so he can come to terms with what happened. We don't know what the end of the game is, but I'm probably going to say it's not a happy ending. One of the other characters in the game, his father was killed by Pyramid Head for what he did. His mother was killed for what she did. They both apologized for treating her or something like crap, but they felt like if they had treated him like crap, it'd be easier to kill him. But it wasn't. They still felt sorrow because they didn't want to kill any of their children, and they wanted to find a way to get away from the order, but that wasn't happening. All I can say about this game is the Pyramid Head's in this game, and he's in the game just like he was in 2, executing people for their sins. He didn't try to kill Alex, as far as I can remember, because he didn't do anything wrong, but he did kill his father for the immense guilt and not fulfilling his contract with the town. And this game kind of cements that the town is alive again. The God Town does not let people go. Even in Silent Hill 4, the town's liveliness is connected to Walter Sullivan, who was able to inhabit the room because of the power of the town. So this just cements that even though it was not created by Team Silent, the town is alive and kicking and will kill you. This game was okay. This game was actually pretty good to me. Even though it wasn't created by original Team Silent, everybody was abrasive about it. This is a story that goes in the history books for me, because this was kind of creepy, and the creepy factor was at all time high, especially that you're sacrificing your own children to appease a god of the town so you won't die. It's kind of a selfish factor, if you ask me. Even Curtis Ackers, who's in the game, was working with the Order and helping Judge Holloway, but he gets himself killed, and it's one of those games. The next game I played was Silent Hill Shattered Memories, and it's a dramatic reimagining of the series. This one was one of the weakest I ever played, but it was still somewhat enjoyable. The story is someone is visiting Dr. Kaufman, who's a therapist in this version, to talk about... You get a psychological test, and you talk about family, about what it is. The main character you play as is Harry Mason once again. This time, he is a writer coming home. He gets in a car crash and he can't find his daughter, Cheryl. He goes home and finds out his home is not his home anymore. There are people living there. He runs into Sybil Bennett. In this game, Harry came from Silent Hill. He lived in Silent Hill. There's no cult. Excuse me. There's no cult. There's no evil malevolent plot, no demons, no psychic powers, none of that. All you know is Harry's running around town chasing ghosts trying to find his daughter, and you meet Sybil Bennett, who changes his appearance depending on what you write for the psychological exams. And you find out ghosts of different memories. Like one of them is when Harry tries to go on a date with his wife Dahlia, in this version that's his wife. And how Alessa messes it up because she didn't want her parents to go alone. She wanted them to come with her. How they used to fight all the time. All types of memories. Alessa had a really screwed up past. And basically you run through this town trying to find Alessa, and there are these creatures that change depending on your gameplay and what you obsess over. And they try to kill him. In this one you can't even have a rusty pike to fight. You have to run from them. You have to block them any way you can. You keep following these lights to hide from them. And if you don't, it's game over. You have to start the scene all over again. Because every time Harry tries to find the truth, if he ices over. Everything ices over. That's why I guess they call it Shattered Memories. But the whole game is you running around. You meet Dahlia, how she used to look when you first dated her. She could be a nympho, she could be a drunk, she could be a drug addict. It doesn't matter. It depends on how you play the game. Like I said, this is one of the weaker ones, but it was enjoyable. It's like a reimagining if, you know, there was no cult and it was just real life. You meet Lisa Garland in this game, but she's just a nurse. She's a regular nurse. She wears modern day nurse scrubs. She's not a drug addict or anything like that, though. She does have a little bump on her head. You walk her home. You give her some medicine that she asks you to give her. And depending on the ending, she probably dies. She could die from bleeding to death. And you have to run from her home. And you meet Sybil. Sybil's trying to tell you things like, at the end, you find out that if you are Mace, he's trying to find his lighthouse, basically. Because there's clues ending that you have to find the lighthouse. And... Sybil says, I hope you are Harry Mason, but she said Harry Mason died years ago, and he goes to the water, goes to the lighthouse, and you find the lighthouse is a therapy place. And at the end of the story, you walk to this door, and before you open it, it goes back to Dr. Kaufman talking to you, because throughout the game, Dr. Kaufman is talking to you about this story, and he tells the character to wake up, and then someone opens the door, and there's Harry. And then you reveal who the character is. The main character in the game actually is Alessa telling a story. She confronts his spirit self, you know, in her head. All this is in her head, basically. And he tells her to let go and I'm sorry for leaving you. And he freezes and dies. And then she leaves from the therapy session and hugs her mother, who is Dahlia. And you find out that Harry died in a car accident after having a fight. Because in the beginning of the game, you keep seeing this recording of a little girl who is Cheryl saying, "I love my daddy," and all this stuff. She records it. She keeps rewinding that video over and over and over again. You find out that Harry dies. And Alessa feels an extreme guilt over her parents separating and him dying. And at the end of the game, you get one of four different endings. But one of them says that Harry got beat up by his wife because he won't be a man, and she was recording it, and you know how pathetic he is as a man. Another one is him being drunk, nearly hitting his daughter for recording him, and she has to be able to get him a beer and all this stuff. And another one is him using her video camera to sleep with other women. And throughout the game, you find out Alessa got a little screwed up in the head. She walked around drunk and got naked. She did some petty theft, some type of crime, all because of her father's death. And it just shows that, you know, even without the game, the story can be good without the horror. It's just more of a mystery, just like Silent Hill Origins was. But this, like I said, was one of the weaker games. Silent Hill Downpour I didn't play. I'm not planning on playing that game anytime soon because everybody told me it was terrible. It had nothing to do with the original cult. It was just about the town and this fog trying to kill someone. It's like, you guys are really falling off the wagon. Book of Memories, I don't even want to go there. It's like an RPG version of Silent Hill. No. I'm not going to go there. So that's my interpretation and my nostalgic over one of the best game series ever. The movies, I saw the first one, it was okay. The second one, I saw the graphics and said, no, I'm not even going to. It's like, the first people who created the first movie played the game but didn't get the spirit or the interpretation of what Silent Hill is like. I didn't play any Silent Hill Arcade, I didn't play any Silent Hill Mobile. If you really want to play Silent Hill 1, like, which was one of the best horror games I've ever played in my life and scared the crap out of me even to this day, go on eBay. They actually have it online and sell it. I have a copy here, but I got that from a friend who was too scared to play, so that's the only reason why I have it. Check it out on YouTube. You can find various videos and what happened. And this is the end of my Silent Hill nostalgia. Next time, I'm going to talk about one of my other favorite horror series, Dead Space, which is going to come on my top favorite horror game list, because that is just plain scary. Make sure to tune in. I'm going to try and record next week, hopefully very soon. Just check out the website again, lcclements.wordpress.com, and see some content and people talking about the survival horror of zombie apocalypses. See you next time.